You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 26th of February 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market hit a record high, up 0.5%. We'll have the details with Heath Moss in a few moments, plus Aaron Kitson from S&P Global, who will go through how borrowers are coping with rising interest rates. But I want to start with the world's biggest listed company, that's AI chipmaker Nvidia, because investors were waiting with bated breath for its results to see if it would offer any sort of support for tech stocks given the recent sell-off, and it posted record annual revenue after the markets closed on Wall Street overnight. Net income, a huge $120 billion US, up 65%. Now, the company's major client spent close to $700 billion US in AI and cloud investment last year. Its CEO, Jensen Huang, told analysts he's confident those firms will continue to see rising cash flow underpinning demand. Here's some of what he had to say in an analyst conference overnight.
I am confident in their cash flow growing. And the reason for that is very simple. We have now seen the inflection of agentic AI and the usefulness of agents across the world and enterprises everywhere. You're seeing incredible compute demand because of it. In this new world of AI, compute is revenues. Without compute, there's no way to generate tokens. Without tokens, there's no way to grow revenues.
That's Jensen Huang there, the CEO of Nvidia, speaking at a teleconference overnight. We'll have to wait what US investors think when the markets open there tonight. But here, tech stocks surge with the sector the best performing on the ASX 200 today, which hit a record, closing 0.5% stronger at 9,175. WiseTech, one of the better performers, up 2.6%, Technology One, 6.4% higher, and Zero added 8.6%. The miners did well, BHP 2.2% firmer. BlueScope fell though 2.3% as it rejected a takeover approach from SGH and Steel Dynamics. Investors like profit results today from Ramsay Healthcare, shares up 10.4%, IDP Education up 7.6%, and Super Retail, which climbed 8.4%, but they didn't like online fashion retailer Seta, which tumbled 25.6%. And Qantas shares were also hit hard today, tumbling 9% following its $1.5 billion half-year underlying profit. To tell us more about why and the rest of the day's market news, I spoke with Heath Moss from HLM Investments. Heath, so the ASX is at a record high. What's driving investor sentiment at the moment, and where has the gains been coming from?
Look, for me, it's been driven by a couple of factors. A better than expected reporting season at the moment. We're almost at the end of that with the last few companies to report tomorrow. But according to Morgan Stanley, the beats have outpaced the misses by 1.8 times when it comes to reported earnings. So we went into this reporting season very pessimistic, and it seems that we didn't need to be. And second, a lot of those beats are coming from the resources and financial space. So there's been a bit of rotation out of some of those higher multiple growth stocks that we've been seeing a sell-off in tech and healthcare, and into those resources and financials. So it just so happens that those two sectors make up about 50% of our index on a market cap basis, and that's why we're seeing these all-time highs. But we've also seen other stocks join the party as well, and these are large cap weighted stocks. You know, stocks like Woodside, Woolworths, Telstra have also had very good reporting season, and that's also helped the index and sentiment. So overall, the positivity we've seen come from most of the earnings reports is helping investors with sentiment and performance.
Can we spend a bit of time talking about AI? The sector has been quite volatile of late. A lot was hinging on Nvidia's results, which came out after the shares in the US closed overnight. It saw record quarterly revenues and is expecting sales to continue to grow. I heard a little bit of the analyst briefing with its CEO, Jensen Huang, who basically said while some of the company's major clients spent around $700 billion US on AI investments, he expects those companies to continue to see cash flow increases to underpin future investments, right? So what do you make of of NVIDIA's results? And is it enough to turn around the slide we've seen in technology and AI shares generally and in terms of sentiment too?
Yeah, look, overall, the NVIDIA results were brilliant. They beat expectations across most lines, and they've already got such a high watermark, and to still beat those expectations is fantastic, and sort of really shows the quality of the company underneath, and they continue to do this quarter after quarter. So like you said, revenue came in 73% higher at around $68 billion. Profit doubled at $43 billion versus the corresponding quarter. EPS rose to about $1.62 versus $1.53 estimate. And the big one, I think, and what the market was really happy about was their forecast for Q1 revenue starting this year was a forecast of $78 billion versus $72 billion, what the market was expecting. So the stock saw a positive move after hours of around 3%. But as to whether it can help stop the slide, like it should help sentiment overall. And sentiment in the tech space, but most of the selling we have seen has come from the SaaS space, and those companies that are facing possible AI disruption. And what NVIDIA is making and delivering is the exact hardware which will help those disruptors. So I'm not sure it's going to do much of the lifting there, but I do think the SaaS sell-off overall is overdone, and a lot of stocks have been tainted by the same brush, and they shouldn't have been. Some will be disrupted by AI, some will be complemented by AI. But for companies to prove that, they're going to have to come out quarter and after quarter and tell the market how AI is complementing their business and how it's helping the business rather than disrupting it. But moving forward, I don't think we'll ever see these SaaS companies trade at the multiples that they were at their highest, say, 12 months ago. I don't think that's going to happen. The risks perceived by the market moving forward now are just too high.
And for our audience that aren't with the lingo, SaaS meaning software as a service, so those software companies. Yes. Let's talk about Qantas. Shares hitting a two-month low today, tumbling almost 10% at one point. That's despite a $1.5 billion half-year underlying profit. What do you make of the result? Why do you think investors didn't like it? And any insights into the sector?
Look, overall, it was a solid result, but it did have its issues. Like I said, profit rose. It was around 5% to $1.456 billion, beating expectations, and EPS was 7% higher at around 68 cents per share. That was driven mostly by domestic and leisure travel. The standout was Jetstar, where they saw EBIT rise by 38%. And they also increased their dividend by 20% to 19.8 cents per share and delivered $150 million buyback. But the slightly negative and bearish side of this is the international side. Growth moving forward, they're only seeing 1% to 3% growth in the international side in terms of revenue for the second half versus domestic revenue. They expect at least 3%. But EBIT for the first half in international was down 6%. A lot of that came from increasing costs. They wore $191 million in extra costs. And a lot of that came from extra competition and lower airfares, et cetera, as well. But the main problem moving forward to Qantas, and I think this is where the market is adjusting its multiples on what it's willing to pay for Qantas, is that it has one of the oldest fleets in the world. So a lot of those planes are going to have to be replaced over the coming years. A lot of that is done by debt. And with the, debt going up in Australia and remaining quite high, those debt costs are going to rise for Qantas. So the market at this stage is saying we're not willing to pay the multiples we were, say, 6 months ago today for Qantas.
Okay, ANZ, the latest bank to change its call on interest rates. Economists there are revising to predict a rate rise in May, I think matching all the big four banks. It follows yesterday's stronger than expected inflation numbers. So what's the market thinking?
At this point, for May, there's an 80% chance of a rate hike being priced in from the market. And this obviously is on the back of the hot Q4 CPI data we received a few weeks ago. And then, adding to that, it was the monthly CPI data we got yesterday. Bullock, in her first fireside chat yesterday, her sentiments were that this was more fine-tuning from the RBA rather than entering a new hiking cycle. And that the monthly data is not yet reliable enough because it hasn't. It's only new. It hasn't got that seasonality built into it. So the RBA will probably wait until May, and after they get their Q1 trimmed CPI data, which they've signaled is the important data that they're watching. And unless that comes in materially softer than expected, we will see another rate hike come this May.
Okay, and in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, I mean, with this tech sell-off and the volatility in this tech sell-off, it has provided some opportunities. Like I said before, you know, a lot of these tech stocks have been tainted with the same brush, and they had needed to be so. So, you know, at the moment, our tech sector is down around 35% versus the NASDAQ, which is only off probably 3 or 4%. And that's because most of our tech stocks are SaaS and experiencing that possible disruption from AI. But there are some stocks that will benefit greatly from AI here in Australia. I have been accumulating the stocks like Technology One, WiseTech, which we heard from the other day, where they're benefiting from AI, and ProMedicus. I think those three are definitely have got moats around their business where they will benefit from AI. I also believe in the healthcare sector. There's a couple of turnaround stories, CSL and Cochlear, I think are looking value at the moment and should see better second halves and a better full year 27 moving forward. So that's another good area. The market is definitely liking hard assets and resources. It's a great place to hide at the moment away from AI. It can't be disrupted, and we would be a benefactor of the build out of AI with copper and lithium and all those sorts of rare materials, etc. And then if you look across to the pond and the US, I feel stocks like Amazon, Microsoft, and even Nvidia will still benefit a lot more from AI than be disrupted. And any sell-off that they've had is a good chance to accumulate more.
That's Heath Moss from HLM Investments. Okay, well, economists at ANZ are now the latest to change their interest rate call, predicting the RBA will now lift interest rates one more time in May. Following yesterday's hot inflation figures, it means economists at each of the big four banks now predict the same thing. And experts say many borrowers, though, will still be placed to handle an interest rate rise. Ratings agency S&P Global says mortgage arrears, that's those borrowers behind on their home loan repayments for 30 days or more, remains historically low at 0.74%. The long-term average is around 1%. So for more, I spoke with Erin Kitson. She's from S&P Global. First of all, how are borrowers dealing with higher interest rates, and are there any pressures showing?
Look, in the main, most households are managing debt serviceability pressures, and that's reflected in the still relatively low levels of mortgage arrears. Modest increases in interest rates shouldn't alter this trend. Whilst high interest rates certainly add to cost of living pressures, I think most borrowers are managing those by prioritising mortgage repayments over most other expenditures, given mortgage repayments are a fairly non-discretionary expense.
What about for investors, though?
Sure. Look, investors are less sensitive to interest rate rises, and that reflects their often higher debt servicing capacity. And we see this reflected in mortgage arrears performance, with investor arrears trending lower than owner-occupier arrears, and this has been a long-standing trend.
Okay, we know that interest rates rose in February. There are now expectations rates will rise again. ANZ, the latest to say it's changed its forecast to price in a rate rise in May. What will this mean for borrowers and for the housing market and prices in general?
I think most borrowers should be able to absorb a modest increases in interest rates, but there will be those who are more sensitive. And I think those borrowers are more likely to be more recent homeowners with higher debt levels relative to their income and fewer savings buffers. In terms of property market impacts, high interest rates constrain borrowing capacity. So that might force some prospective homeowners to wait on the sidelines a bit whilst interest rate uncertainty prevails. But I think this is likely to be short-lived given the structural undersupply of housing in Australia, a problem that is going to take some time to correct.
And the government is discussing the possibility of reducing the capital gains tax discount. We haven't got any confirmation yet, but any reduction in that discount, what's that likely to mean for the housing market and prices?
Whilst it's not really our position to opine on government strategy, we do know that investors and how they perform has a meaningful impact on property price dynamics in Australia. And that really is a reflection of the sheer size of this type of property owner, with over 20% of Australian households owning a second property. Investors are also often more highly represented in high income quartiles. So that enhances their ability to access property markets and the price at which they can access markets, which adds to demand side pressure. In terms of CGT reform, you know, potentially CGT reform may help to address housing affordability issues, but of itself, it's unlikely to provide the complete solution.
That's Erin Kitson there from S&P Global, and she wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. If you do enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and anywhere else you download this program from, click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.